Yeah, it's kind of cool because if I like say my name out loud and I spell it, I feel like it really rolls off the tongue. Like D-W-I, double T, double Y. All of the lights in that cyberpunk city change to that team's color. So it's very easy to see what team is in control. And it's a very like big effect.
Alright lads, welcome back to Inside MC, the podcast where I sit down with an amazing guest every single week. This week's podcast is revolutionary. I'm going to use that word, somewhat. Not because of the guest. The guest is alright, but it doesn't make it revolutionary. It's because this is the final podcast for the foreseeable future. And
the final one ever? Thank God.
Wow, you're not even meant to be talking yet. I haven't even introduced you.
Okay, sorry.
Why are you talking? Definitely throughout the rest of December, there's going to be no more podcasts. There'll be shorts and stuff most likely, but not podcasts. I might be taking a break for the entirety of January as well, just have a little rest and sit back, and we may return in February. Not fully sure yet. More will be announced on Twitter, formerly known as X. But, and I said that the right way around.
Known as X?
Yeah, because Twitter's a superior platform. So it was formerly known as X. It's gone back to Twitter. Anyways, I am joined with the amazing Dwitty.
Hi. Sorry, I kind of cut in there.
No, it's okay. You were just...
I saw the opportunity and I took it.
I made it very clear before you cut in, by the way, that I said formerly known as X on purpose. Like, that wasn't me misspeaking. I said it in that order on purpose.
Okay, sure. Because sure, I believe you.
Do I start making the puns about your name already, or do I wait?
I wouldn't even call them puns.
What do you
They're
mean?
Not even puns.
You're gonna Dwitty all over the place. Like, that's not a pun.
Not even a pun.
What would be a pun then about your name? Go on.
It doesn't work because a pun is when you're using a word that has two different meanings in the other sense.
Witty, kind of like wordplay. I sure hope he does.
But it's not my name isn't a word. It's kind of a word, but it's not a word.
I think I know the reason behind your name. We'll get into it later. No, because there's an order that we follow on the podcast. You said
I do, I do. Yeah, exactly. So I do. It sounded like you were going there. You're in control here. I'm following your lead.
But I mean, you're more in control. I'm just kind of like guiding the podcast, but you're the main man today.
All right, well, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I'm not going to return. I'm taking over the podcast now. Orbit's old news. That's
okay. So interview me then.
Oh, I wasn't prepared for this.
Exactly. So you.
Orbit is now the host of the podcast again.
Oh, you gave it back to me. What a coincidence. Before we get into, by the way, just the reason that Dwitty is so lively and talking is because we've had such an amazing conversation for the last hour about life and the future, and time travel was a little bit in there as well.
Yeah.
So that's why we're so awake, and we're also recording in the afternoon. I never really record these in the afternoon. I had the day off work, so I was like, screw it, let's get out of the way. Not get out of the way, more so because I'm going out tonight. But anyways, before we carry on yapping away about life and the politics and stuff that we're going to be getting into today.
I don't want to talk about politics.
Not even Minecraft politics?
What's Minecraft politics?
Exactly, that's what I was going to ask you. I had this conversation with someone the other day, I can't remember who, but we were talking about like, what would Minecraft politics entail?
I would just assume it's more, I'm bringing up this word early, but like networking, like people getting together. SMPs, kind of, you know, like groups and communities coming together and almost like a bureaucracy kind of vibe rather than politics.
Yeah, fair enough. That's still not the order of the podcast though. We're really not following this properly at all.
You are in control. You are asking me questions.
Okay, question then. Before we get into anything else, I always like to give this opportunity for you to introduce yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And if you have a fun fact, either about yourself or just in general.
Okay. I'm David or Dwitty. I don't mind which one. Usually Dwitty, that's fine. I would describe myself as a map maker, kind of a level designer, a game mechanic, kind of summarizes a lot of things. I've done bits and bobs, some shenanigans here and there. And a fun fact, do you want something more professionally focused or something just completely out of the blue?
It's your choice.
No, but I'm asking you.
One of each. Professional first. No, do out of the blue first. Do out of the blue first.
Out of the blue first. I own a life-size replica of the TARDIS from Doctor Who.
That's actually pretty sick. Yeah? That's really sick. Okay, I'm professional.
Yeah. My first ever video on YouTube, which was like 12 years ago, was an SMP that I joined with other people who were all rejected from applying from a different SMP.
So you were the rejects.
We were the rejects, yeah.
Rejects SMP. That sounds kind of hard, actually.
I mean, that wasn't the name, but yeah.
No, but rejects SMP does go kind of fire.
And we then outlasted the original SMP.
Oh,
yeah.
They were the rejects.
They were the losers. Yes.
Why did I think as soon as you were going to say life size, I thought instantly you were going to say I own a life size like cardboard cutout of someone.
Hey, I do also own a life size cardboard cutout of David Tennant, Doctor for Doctor Who.
Do you role play sometimes? Like
no. Like,
Doctor Who was my show. Get in this TARDIS and then you jump into the TARDIS.
No, but I did store him in the TARDIS. That was just completely appropriate to do.
I can't find your YouTube channel. I searched Twitter. I've searched David Twitty.
You're not looking hard enough.
I spelled it wrong. Twitty. There's two Y's.
Yes, there is.
I found it.
I used to get really annoyed about that. I used to get really annoyed when people would spell my name with one Y. I'd be like, who are you talking to?
I hate the look of
insane orbits. Now I don't care.
I don't mind it, but I hate the look of insane orbits or orbits with only one Z. Just give me chills.
Probably because you've had two Z's for Z's and so just one looks weird. That's the same with me.
You have a double T and a double Y.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because if I like say my name out loud and I spell it, I feel like it really rolls off the tongue. Like DWI, double T, double Y. Sounds great. Sounds amazing.
The Dwitty.
If it's just one Y, it's DWI, double T, Y. It needs more. It needs more.
Yeah, it's the like, double T, double Y, like that could like that's like bars. You could turn like that into
and the,
like
the,
a song.
The double U is good because it sounds like you're saying double the letter U, but it's not. It's the W.
You're a walking W.
Thank you,
David Dwitty. I think this podcast is past the 5-minute mark, right? Like we've probably gone past.
Is that the watershed?
What?
Like you know how UK has a watershed where you can start swearing?
Oh no!
Oh.
Don't know what that is at all. What is
okay.
that?
Okay, well, I thought you were going to make a joke about swearing. I thought you were going
to
swear.
Oh no, I am about to swear, but you kind of caught me.
Oh okay.
I just didn't know there was like some kind of thing.
Yeah, the 9 PM watershed.
I don't know what that is.
It's so in UK television, you're not allowed to swear before 9 PM. I think it's 9 PM. It might have changed.
Oh okay.
So that like kids don't listen to swearing, and then at 9 PM it's like officially you can swear because it's assumed that kids will go to bed, and any of the kids that are still up are allowed to listen to swearing.
Well, that's cool. I never knew that. That's sick. Well, we're definitely past the 5-minute mark now. I think it's finally time to answer the question that I've always been asking. What the fuck is a Dwitty?
I don't know. What do you mean? Who? What's the origin of the name? Like, what?
I feel like I know the origin of the name.
Go on, then.
Well, your name is David, and you think you're very witty.
Yeah, that's, like, half of it.
Sick, yeah. But, yeah, what the fuck is a Dwitty?
So, it's, like, most of the reason. So, I used to play... a lot of Call of Duty as a kid, and... I was part of not a clan, because that makes it seem like we're FaZe, but a team.
I call it a clan anyways, so just call it a clan and see.
Sure, sure. We all wanted to come up with our own names, so our clan name was Spite. So we had my friend called Harry was Spite Haribo, for instance.
Yeah.
And so I came up with Dwitty, D standing for David, and I thought I was Dwitty. And the reason for that is because I watched a YouTuber called Sarcasm, who was describing his own name origin, who thought he was very sarcastic and wanted to put a W in there. I changed it slightly, and I thought that was a very cool idea.
I thought I was going to lead somewhere else when you said Sarcasm. I was thinking of something else.
Oh, no.
I was about to say, it was a bit of a...
No. Chasm with a C.
It doesn't matter. My brain still went to that place.
So yeah, so I came up with that, and we were all going to have double letters at the end. That's another like cool thing. So that's why there's a double Y. Separately, I had recently watched Nevermind the Buzzcocks, which is a UK television show about music, and they have rotating hosts. And the host for the most recent episode that I'd watched was David Tennant. As I've already said, massive Doctor Who fan as a kid. And one of the things he kept saying on the show was, deal with it. Deal with it. DW it. Dwit, and it just felt like all the stars aligned, and I was like, yeah, that's the name. I love it.
That's the same reason I got a double Z, is because I was in a clan. Or I owned a clan, even.
Ah.
It's called Insane Clan, and we all had double Z at the end of
Maybe that's just a thing we did as a kid. That's just what we
thought
clans
do. Yeah, I was like 16, maybe, when I did it. I was also in another clan. I'm going to mute the name of my IGN, just in case. But my name was... I was actually so sick at the game.
What did you play?
It was the clan for Call of Duty Ghosts.
I was actually Ghosts. Oh, I think I was one before that. Black Ops 2 was the main one for us.
Yeah, because you're old, aren't you?
Ghosts was like 1 year after Black Ops 2, I think.
Is it?
And I'm a little bit old, like I'm at least 4 years older than you.
Yeah, is your age not public?
No, my age is public. I'm 26.
But we established this before the podcast. I'm 21, so you're 5 years older than me.
Okay. Well, I said at least 4.
Talk about it. We've forgot my age. Okay, all right.
Maybe I'll mute that.
Can I keep in the fact that I'm saying I'm muting that so that people just have no context?
It's a funny joke, but I want to make sure.
You could have said the most harmless thing and no one will ever know because I've muted it, and now I'm making it sound like it was a lot worse than it was because I'm being in the part here where I'm saying I'm muting it.
Oh no, you're gonna paint me to look awful in this, aren't you?
Are you?
Paint.
Oh, paint. No. Never.
You're paying me for this?
I don't know. Never.
Nice. Get in.
I love you. No, God. I'm not.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. I'm taken for it.
I think you're really cool, Dwitty. So no, of course I wouldn't do that. I actually really like you. So take that as you will.
That is a great payment. Thank you.
I don't even know where that whole thing of me going, "What the fuck is a Dwitty?" came from. Like, I actually can't remember. I just said.
I guess you were just confused at my name.
But like, why? Like, why is that a bit? Like, why did I make that a bit?
I don't know, man. You came up with it.
I just said it on stream. You asking me? I wish I knew. I think I just said it on stream one time. And I thought it was funny. And I was like, "What the fuck is a Dwitty?" And then I know David Whitty.
Yeah,
like David Tennant.
I mean, I wasn't named after David Tennant. Let's just make that clear.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty. Yes. Yeah, well. Because I don't think he existed as an actor when I was a baby.
I used to get called Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. That wasn't what I was named after either. I just got called it.
Mm. I mean, kids will just kind of...
Outbox Charlie by my teachers as well. Which kind of ironic considering I own a podcast.
It's not ironic. I would call that more foreshadowing.
Yeah. Or maybe time travel. Someone went back and called me it, and it's because they knew I was going to own a podcast.
That'd be a really... almost pathetic use of time travel.
Cheers, appreciate that. Thanks.
No, though, if you went back in time, you're like, you have the power to go back in time, and you went back in time and you gave someone a nickname and then you traveled back, like, come on. You could do so much. Like, what?
Yeah, but it's sort of pathetic.
It is. You've invented time travel and you're going back to, like, give someone a nickname.
You never know. That could be why your name is Dwitty.
Maybe. I guess I'll find out in the future/past.
Or if someone else did it, but you'll never know. It was always meant to be.
Then I will never know, and that's okay.
It's a hater for no reason.
Okay.
Let's talk about how we met before we get into talking about like other stuff. Let's clear the room a little bit here. We're gonna get into the actual stuff like MCC testing, RASA, testing RASA Studio, that kind of jazz.
All right, so are you gonna say the word or am I?
Not yet. I'm not saying it yet. Okay. I want to give a backstory or like a context as to the word we're about to mention. So the other day, the other week, I had Melissa on the podcast. Do you know who Melissa is by any chance?
I do.
Who are they?
Funnily enough, she's my girlfriend. She's amazing.
Oh my god.
She works for the Nox Crew. She loves Sands of Time. She is very smart, and she runs the moderation.
They listen to the podcast. Okay. They don't need an ego boost. All right, they've been on it. They got their ego boost there. They don't need more of it. I understand. That's very nice of you to say. How long have you been together?
Coming up to 2 years.
Oh, cool. That's really sweet. So I actually met Mel at TwitchCon earlier this year, back in June. No, when was TwitchCon? June or July? June.
It was the last weekend of June, first weekend of July.
There we go. So yeah, I met Mel, but we didn't really talk. The only time we met was when they was escorting me and my partner to our seats for the TwitchCon, for the MCC Twitch Rivals. Anyway, so after the MCC Twitch Rivals, we went to this really cool after party. And at the after party, I met you, Dwitty.
Yes, you did.
Which we'll talk about more in a second, about all of that kind of stuff. But I do want to clear the room because people are dying to know what the word is. So I actually mentioned this to Mel on the podcast about meeting you and our little talk. And we'll go into the talk like that because so I've told so many people about meeting you. Now it's finally time to talk to you about meeting
you. Was it that? I can't believe I made that much of an impression on you.
I told you earlier, I just love Dwitty, you know? But I thought it was a really nice conversation. We were being really friendly. You know, we had a drink. I think it's really cool. I later found out from Mel that to you, all it was networking.
No. It's important to get my context here.
That's why you're here. That's the only reason you come on the podcast, so I can get context.
So, I'll admit, I didn't know who you were at the time. You came up to the bar and you had mentioned that you were... you did the Inside MC podcast, and I knew there were two hosts and I didn't know which one you were, so I did a 50-50 and I guessed, and I guessed that you were AJX first, and I was wrong obviously, but then I said, oh, you must then be Orbitz.
Yeah, you turned to me and you went, AJX? And I went, no, the other one.
Well, because I don't know what it was. I guess that's just the name that I remembered more.
No, it's fine. I don't take offense to it.
And then so we just started talking, and I was like introducing myself and what I had done with like RASA, for instance, and the stuff that we had coming up, which was really exciting. And you were telling me about what you did. And yes, it was very much like an introductory casual conversation. But because I guess it's in your nature to ask ask questions about people doing the podcast and, you know, with Inside MC and Midweek MC, and just the way that you interact with people. The only way that I could describe it was like, I felt like I was being interviewed. I felt like I was being not interrogated, but I called it networking. Like, it's the equivalent of what I would imagine if I went to a business conference and, you know, you were exchanging experiences and skill sets and that kind of thing.
I was just trying to have a conversation with you and learn who you were.
It's not at all a negative thing. That's just...
No, I get you. I just didn't mean it to come off as like me interviewing you. It's just like, it's just how I talk to people. It's about like, oh, so what do you do? Oh, that's cool. So what else? Blah, 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 blah.
But it's also a unique situation because I guess it's the same for you. You don't really like meet people from the online community in person. You usually meet them online and you find out about them through what their profiles are. But then when you meet someone in person, you need to get to know them. You need to find out who they are. So you're asking all these questions. But because it was in a context which was so online, like I knew
online the Notch crew.
It was an online, it was like, I didn't need to go around asking people, oh, who are you, like, what do you do? I just knew everyone from online, but I didn't know you. So, and the same for you, me. So we were finding out about each other about online stuff, which is in essence a business in some aspect. Like it feels like it leans that way. So that's why I described it as networking.
It was like good networking.
Yeah, it's like a funny kind of like
to try and make like connections. It was like each other.
Yeah, it was a funny way to describe it because of just the situation.
I know, I didn't take any offense to it. I just really wanted to bring it up. That's why it's funny when Mel.
It is funny.
Like, what? No, because I guess like my story, what I tell people is like I walked up to the bar and Carl was there, and I saw Carl earlier on in the day at TwitchCon, but I didn't get a chance to like say hi. I knew they was handing out like pins and stuff, so I said I really want one. No one wanted like the pins and stick. I think she was handing out, so I went up and I was like hi, and then like just told her who I was, and at first she didn't hear me properly. She's like, oh, you do a podcast? I said yeah, the Inside MC. She's like, oh, and then that's when she knew who I was, and then she actually gave me a badge and a pin like I wanted, and then like you turned around and was like, oh, AJX, and I was like, nope, the other one, and he was like, oh,
because I'm sat in the middle, so I'm like trying to get involved and not trying to be like awkwardly sat there.
I came up and said hi to you both, like I didn't just like go and ignore you,
which I know,
not to big myself up here, but at least I didn't like kind of go up and go, oh hi Cara, and I was like, oh hi, how are you guys? And
I know.
So who are you?
It's also important to know that we were at that bar for ages.
That's what I was gonna get into. Yeah, you guys were there ages.
Ages.
Just for a drink or something, I'm pretty sure, didn't you?
Yeah, so we all got given like a token to like spend as a drink.
I didn't get one.
Not like in a rude way, but like, how did you get invited? Because I know it was like Not Screw people, friends of Not Screw and Testers.
I mean, there's loads of people there, to be fair.
Oh, and participants,
Participants. There's also like a few, like, I mean, a lot of the lads and pals were there as well, and they were just
most of them testers.
But some of them aren't. I can't remember how it went fully, but I remember talking, because obviously I've had a knocked out on the podcast and Avondale was scheduled to come on the podcast for ages. So I was just telling Avondale about it. And when he came up and I said, I was messaging him about it, like, it seemed really, really cool. And then he just turned around and was like, look, do you want seats? And I said, oh, like, he's like, yeah, do you want just like, you know, I think it was like VIP or like reserve seating. I was like, yeah, please. Like, I'd be really grateful. And then I was like, oh no, he's forgotten. Then the day of, I got an email. So did Chloe and so did AJX. So like, I was like, I hate to be like, I don't want to push, but I said, is okay like, if I get two more seats with me, because for AJX and for my partner, I said two is fine, like it would have just been me and AJX, but I was like, do you mind? It was like, yeah, no, that's fine. So apparently participants were allowed to bring one person as well or something, or like two people, but so we got a reserve seating, and in the same email he invited us to the party.
Makes sense.
Then when we was at the Minecraft meetup, we were with Mighty Brothers, and the AJX and Mighty Brothers came together, so we didn't really want to ditch him. So at the Minecraft meetup we were chatting, and I went up to him, and it was his birthday on Sunday.
Yes, it was.
So I said to him, like, so my brother's like really scared to talk to him, so I went up to him and was like, this is my brother's loves MCC, he really wants a fist bump. I was like, by the way, like, just out of curiosity, I said, like, like, Mighty's traveled with me and AJ, and I was like, is it okay if he comes? And Evander was like, yeah, no, it's an open party, like, it's not reserved, it's just don't tell anyone about it. Like, people can come if they know about it, but just don't spread the word far and wide. And that's why there's so many people there who, like, a few people there who I didn't know, like, I knew 95% of the people there, but there was like a 5% who I'd just never seen before, and they were either friends or partners of other people, or they were just people who heard about the party through people talking and rocked up, because it wasn't an official Twitch Rivals one, because they do the official ones in America, but they don't do the official, like, for the last two MCC Twitch Rivals they've done them officially in America. In Europe it was just, here, this is a location, let's just do it, and it was open doors basically.
Avondale's great.
Yeah, that's how I got invited. Sorry, yeah, no, I love Avondale. Yeah, it's amazing. But yeah, it was like the long-winded story of how I got there, and then I know me and you.
and I found out about Rust. I mean, I knew what Rasa Studios was because of KubeCon last year.
It was really nice for me, honestly, because Rasa as a brand, we're quite a bit smaller. Like, we started in a place where nowadays you've got event teams for days, and like, you know, a lot of people are part of different teams and events and all of that. But when we started, it wasn't like that at all. So knowing that you had heard of us and what we had done was kind of nice. It was just nice to go, hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, literally, as soon as you turn around and went, oh, like, I work on Rasa, I was like, oh my god, I know Rasa. I watched literally the event at KubeCon last year. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, that's so sick. It's like, I knew who you were, and I knew what you did, essentially. I just didn't know you. And then when you turn around and said about Mel, because then actually how we got like talking afterwards as well, which is the funnier part, is Mel ended up messaging me on Twitter because you'd said something to Mel about us talking, apparently. And then so me and Mel were,
I said that we were networking.
Oh, well, instantly. Oh, that was your instant thing, got you. And then Mel messaged me and we added each other on Discord, and I added you on Discord, and we got talking. And I've been wanting you on the podcast for ages as well, and you know.
Yeah,
that.
We spoke about it a little bit, but I knew I had a lot of things coming up which have now happened, and I didn't want to, you know, be on the podcast too, which early. Feels like this like big deal, and not say anything like, oh, I can't talk about that, oh, I can't talk about that, or this is coming up, it's exciting, but I can't tell you anything.
So I'm pretty sure I invited you on a TwitchCon. I think at that after party I said
you did, yeah, and on, I said maybe towards like September.
Yeah, now look, you're here.
Yeah,
I had such a long-winded story, I just kind of wanted to officially say it to you. I said the story to better tell other people because it's easy just to kind of say it as like a part brush off, but with you I'm actually having like a good talk, which is nice. It's funny, like, I think it's really, really cool to meet you at the party. And like, I are you going to TwitchCon, do you know, this year?
Yes, we'll go to TwitchCon next year, yeah,
so we can actually absolutely properly meet up, and I'll know who you are this time.
Yeah, oh, we can network again, I can't
we
wait
can network. Oh man, I love it.
I'm gonna show up with like a binder and like business cards and
I'm going to get you to sign a piece of paper that just has a bunch of different pictures of you on it.
Sign a contract.
It's just going to be your face and then networking underneath it. That's like five times. And it's going to be like a little contract underneath it saying, this is obliged. If you sign this, then we have to network every year or something. I don't know.
You know the stickers which say like, hi, my name is blank. It should just say like, hi, I am. And then fill in networking.
I am Dwitty. I'm here to network. I'm Orbitz. I'm here to network. That'd be cool. And we can actually officially talk this time as well, hopefully. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I felt like, at previous TwitchCon, I guess I knew a lot of people, but not in person. So I had gone, it's this weird situation. I had gone through this process of meeting online friends like 5-6 years ago at Insomnia. I don't know if you've heard of Insomnia. You probably have.
Yeah, I met Dan from the British Red Cross there earlier this year. I actually went with AJ, and I got really, really ill afterwards as well. And when I was traveling classic. Home, trains weren't running properly. And then classic. I had the last Insomnia before it just randomly shut down.
Yeah. So I used to go in like 5-6 years ago, but when the Nox Crew community was the Nox Crew community, the Nox Crew had a booth there. And so a lot of their fans, including me, would go to this booth, and we would meet up because we would just hang out with the Nox Crew like in their channels, just in the community channel, and that's how we spent our time. And we met up at the Insomnias, and there was all that awkwardness of like, oh my god, I know you from online, now I'm seeing your face, and you know, knowing how you walk and talk and, you know, sit down and weird things like that. So I've been through all of that, and then it felt like a lot of people were going through that at Twitch cons, like specifically the Europe one. And I was just there like, I've done this 1,000 times. I've met people from online like 1,000 times. This is, you know, not new to me, but it still felt like it had that energy, which was very interesting.
Did you buy, and it's such a random question, did you by any chance go to Insomnia 63, August 2018?
I want to say probably, but I don't remember the numbers.
Well, if you did, there's a high chance that we probably passed each other because, and I'll give you context here, there is a picture in my phone from the 25th of August 2018 at 12:33 p.m. where I took a picture of two screens, right? And it had the CubeCraft Games logo on them. 4 years later, I became a CubeCraft YouTuber. I'd never heard of it before. I became a CubeCraft Minecraft YouTuber for a while. And I looked back at my photos and I have this picture of CubeCraft Games from 2018, which I had no clue what it was. So it's so like weird. But like, there's a high chance if you did go to that we probably passed each other, and it's just so like, damn. Now we're,
I don't even know where I could find out.
I just have an image on my phone. That's the only reason I know.
What year was it?
2018, August.
2018.
25th.
Maybe, okay, I know I went to I-64.
Okay, that was the one after.
Yeah, I'm looking through Rasa files because that's kind of what I have.
What about photos on your phone? Do you not have a photo on your phone? Do you like, maybe do you go a selfie there or something?
Maybe, but it would be like, this is years ago. You might have to cut this bit out while I'm searching.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
that's fine. When was it?
August 25th, 2018.
Yeah. Okay, later than I thought. That's 2017. Okay. That is also 2017. March 2018. Okay, we're getting there. March 2018.
No, August.
Yes, I'm getting there.
Maybe I just keep this in because I can.
I don't think... No, now I've just skipped to October. Yeah, I have no photos. But I don't take a lot of photos anyway, so it might not...
Maybe you didn't go. So sad.
Maybe I didn't.
But yeah, sorry. So yeah, the whole networking thing was like in a general sense of TwitchCon itself, because it was essentially networking by meeting these new creators. It was certainly interesting. I had a good time. I just realized I didn't really talk to people as much as I could because they didn't like... I'm not saying this in a rude way. I'm saying this in a straightforward way. So I'm saying this in like a genuine way, I should say, sorry. It's like I realized a lot of these creators that like a lot of them, they talk to the people they were really close with online, but anyone who they just knew from online but weren't close with, they didn't really do too much talking to. At least from my experience, and not just me specifically, just from what I watched. Yeah, I felt like I was leading a lot of the conversations when I had them with people.
Why is this a TwitchCon?
Yeah. Maybe they just didn't want to talk to me. I'm talking about in the convention, not the party. I'm talking about the convention itself. Maybe people just didn't want to talk to me. I felt like sometimes I was leading the conversation more because people were more comfortable with people they knew for longer, as opposed to people who they just knew from online. Does that make sense?
Are you talking about like just in the convention hall, like just sort of walking
around?
Yeah, like
people meeting each other and talking and stuff like that. Like there was a big group of us at one point and it felt like people were just in their little circles.
Again, yeah, you know, I mean, that happens. That happens. It's very hard to sort of break between, like just go up to people and be like, hey, so who are you? Kind of.
I remember Fawcett talking about like a TwitchCon America as well, how like he the life stealers were kind of just all chilling in their circle, and he was like so shocked at how little they talked about. Like, not they were arrogant, they were just more comfortable in their own circle, which is completely fine. That's what I'm saying. It's more in a genuine way that people were just comfortable in their circle, but it was so shocking to me that people weren't as like talkative as I am. And again, I also own a podcast, so it's kind of different.
Yeah, a lot of people, like I'm very much introverted. I feel like I can disguise myself as an extrovert at sorts of things, but I feel like a lot of people are going to act the same way. You know, they have their own space. They're very, you can very easily like check out of conversations when you want to. And also speaking online, you can just speak, but you can be, you know, moving your hands however you want. You can like be drinking and whatever, and it's fine. Whereas like in person, you probably feel a bit more anxious. People are looking at you, or that, you know, you don't want to go up to someone and have all of those emotions just like raw, because you can't just escape that conversation very easily.
Yeah, this is why I offer the podcast being behind like camera so you don't have to show your face. But also, yeah, with Discord calls, you can go, oh no, I gotta go, my mom's calling me or something. Whereas in person, you can't go, oh no, look, oh, someone's calling me, I have to leave. You don't have to see the conversation out, or just not give a conversation.
Yeah. And also, like I said, this is probably the first time that people are meeting each other in person.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I'm saying, it's more of a genuine, completely fine way than anything.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit more about you then. That was a good talk. Let's actually get into being you properly. That's why timestamps exist anyways. What do you want to talk about first? I'll let you take the option unless you want me to choose.
Am I back in control of Inside MC?
Well, it's more so like, is there anything that you've been dying to do? Because you've got a lot going on. You've got MCC testing, you've got the fact that you make maps, you've made parkour courses, you work with Rasta Studios. What one do you want to talk about first, or do you want me to choose?
I mean, we can start from the start. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, go on then.
Chronologically. Okay, well, how far back do we want to start? I don't know my first words.
Oh my goodness.
No, but I started as a YouTuber on an SMP in like 2013, maybe a bit later. 2014 was my first video. That's it tight. Was 11th of June 2013. There you go.
I got that quicker than I did.
Yeah.
Heartbroken.
And so I was just an SMP YouTuber, very small as a kid.
Rejects SMP. Just
not really. It was called Mindshafted. That was wow, rude. Okay.
Whoa. I don't mean to be rude. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Of course. Can't have rude guests on my podcast.
Sorry. I mean, should we backtrack to what you said earlier?
No? Huh? What?
Exactly. Yeah. Carry on.
Okay. So it started as that, and then I started looking into making maps, and I released a few maps, and then I applied for Not Screw Game Show. I remember watching the pilot season of Not Screw Game Show. The trailer came out and I was immediately like, I loved it. I loved watching game shows on TV and I like playing Minecraft. So this was just, I don't know if you've seen the original pilot season trailer for the Not Screw Game Show, but it caught my attention. And I remember watching every single episode of the pilot season when it came out. It started being like short episodes, but then there would be like longer, like movie length shows. And I'd even like sit down with my friend and would like figure out a time to get on a Skype call together to watch them at the same time. Like, I really loved it. Then they kind of stopped doing them. And then they announced, I think it was on Twitter, that they were opening up applications for anyone to join a full season. And I was on holiday. I remember I was in Spain. I saw it and I was sat at the one bar which you could get Wi-Fi, because Wi-Fi was not a commonplace thing at the time. You just had to go to specific places to get Wi-Fi. So I remember sitting at the bar on like my 1 hour of Wi-Fi for a day, seeing this tweet and being like, I need to apply. Immediately put out a tweet saying, anyone want to join me? Because Twitter was a different place then where you could just sort of say things into the void and people would reply. And immediately got a couple of responses, both friends of mine from that SMP. Applied with an awful application video. I still don't know how it resonated with them. We managed to get into the show. I remember getting that email and I went nuts. It was like, you know, Charlie getting the golden ticket. To harken back to your Charlie and the Chocolate Factory reference. And
I respect it.
We went on the show and I remember sort of like every recording session. The first recording session was a little scuffed. I'm sure I can say this now because it's like years old. And
cares. I don't think they'll mind.
Yeah, I don't think they'll mind. But the first recording session, we were against a team. So our team was called the Ungentlemen, after loads of different name iterations. The team we were up against was called Evac Crew, and we absolutely dominated them. Like, we did really well. Then things broke, and they had to cancel that recording. And that team up, that match up. So we ended up facing against a different team in the quarterfinals instead. And so we beat them as well. Like we clean swept them 2-0. We went on to the semifinals. We clean swept them 2-0. Then we went on to the finals and then we were up against Evac Crew again.
Oh no, I can see where this is going.
And in that time as well, I remember going to Insomnia and going to the Nox Crew booth. And this was before I'd met any of them in person. And I was queuing up and I was like, a giddy kid, like, they don't know it's me. And I remember there was Greg in there, and then there was Noctis, and I just kind of slipped like, you actually know who I am. Like, I was being really sort of cheeky and mysterious, and they're like, really? I said who I was, and immediately they went around the back, they brought out a box of like stickers, and they were like giving me all of these stickers, like, yes, you need to have all of this. And I got like golden cards and like Nox Crew stickers. Noctis came over and was like, no way. And then Stefan came over and they had like a TV in the back, which was crazy. And they brought me around and they showed me another episode that they were making, and it was this really intense end of an episode. It was in bath time, where one team had run around the course. It was like a death run kind of game. One team had run around the course, got to the end and struggled and got there in like 6 minutes, and so then the other team was up and had to beat that time. And so everyone in the Nox Crew was like, oh, this is just, they're just going to absolutely decimate. But then the other team managed to hold them at a water column for 6 minutes. And it was just this crazy tense situation. And Stefan was like, this is great. This is like great cinema, great for the show. And so when we're in we're back to the final, I'm there thinking we can absolutely dominate. We can absolutely destroy them here. But I know from like Stefan and the Nox Crew's perspectives, they want a good show. And it's not a good show if we're just dominating. So I remember specifically going, maybe we should throw this last game. Maybe we should like slow down a little bit. And my teammates were like, no, we're winning. And it was a silly game because it was Yule Shave, and MCC fans will know it as the Grid Runner's Room, where you need to shave Santa. But that was a full-on mini game, and it was just funny that that was the very final game of the season. And yeah, we won, and that's the story.
Didn't go anywhere near where I thought it was going.
Where do you think it was?
I was just going to say that you lost because you came up against them again.
No. We absolutely it was crazy that we won, just insane like that.
I guess then going from the Not True Game Show, then this would be the perfect transition then to talking about Rattus Studios.
Yeah.
How did the Nox Squad game show come to be? I know, obviously. Not wait, actually,
on purpose.
Before we do that, actually, just so people know who you are and what you do, do you do within Rasa Studios?
So Rasa Studios, we are a marketplace build team, and we also create the Nox Squad game show. We also create various skits and sort of shows on YouTube. We do charity streams, things like that. We've recently released like a Taskmaster series, for instance, which was very cool. But at the core, we started as just, if I can go into it now, if that kind of answers your question.
Oh yeah, no, it's just more so that people don't know, because I know you're not the, I just don't want people thinking that you're Rasa Studios only. It's good. I mean, so I don't want them to take everything that you say.
Yeah,
like,
no,
oh, you're the full-on owner of everything is what I mean.
No. Rasa is a big sort of friend group and build team. I'm a game designer and mechanic as part of that team.
Because it's like with Inside MC, it's a good old team, but I'm the owner of it. I know everything from the get-go, and I'll know all the correct answers because it's my thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want people to think that like you're the full-on... Anyways, yeah, so yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm not. No. So we started as this community in the Nox Crew community, sitting in their channels, hanging out, you know, pretty much every day waiting for the next episode of the game show. And they had set up a server for us to, like, a creative server for us to just build, just for fun, on. And originally the idea was we were going to make a Mario Party style game. There'd be loads of mini games and you'd go around a board and play these games. And at some point, someone had recreated one of the games. I think it was Bath Time. And they asked if we could redstone it. And I was a redstone at the time. And I knew command blocks because I'd made maps. And so I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So we did that. I don't think I did Bath Time. I think it was something else. It might have been Factory or whatever it was. But it was just a basic game. And we played that game. And we thought, hey, this is fun. We get to play their games. And then that kind of kept happening. And people started recreating their games. Dodgebolt was one of them, which people will now know as the MCC finale. That was originally an Oxcrew Game Show game, which never actually appeared, maybe in the live shows, but not in the season. And we recreated that. I remember specifically redstoning that, and we were just playing that. Then someone decided to rebuild the dome and then asked me directly, can we, like, redstone the dome? And I was like, oh, okay. So that I redstoned the dome. At some point, we then had 8 games that we could put on this dome, some of which were just direct recreations, some of which were reskins, and some of which were just original games. Like, I had made a game on the server which was completely original. It was an awful game. It was called Archive Anarchy. It was awful, but it was a game. We had made a dome full of 8 games. We asked some of the Noxcrew if they wanted to come on and play, and they said yes. So we got to play these games as the Nox Squad game show, because we were the fans of the Noxcrew. We were the Nox Squad, and they enjoyed it, and we had a lot of fun. We had sort of cameras and stuff. Oh, maybe we didn't have cameras at the time. We had a lot of fun doing it. I remember specifically I made a game called Wild Woodworks, which was a racing game through, like, a wooden factory, which had conveyor belts which would speed you up or slow you down. Very clever at the time. Now it's just a common age race mechanic or whatnot. But I remember specifically the Noxcrew teleporting to this game and going, this is an amazing theme. Like, this build looks incredible. And that really warmed my heart as a young kid who was a part of this team recreating the show. We just kept going. We just kept recreating games and making new games. And slowly and surely, we started making completely original games, inspired heavily by the style of the Noxcrew game show, but very much our own.
They didn't mind the name.
No, because we were very much like the fans, and it was always a fan show. We're always doing this for the fans of the Noxcrew game show. Obviously, if we start going like, oh, we want to sell merch and we want to do this, that's then an issue.
Call ourselves WCSO.
But that's at some point we changed our name from the Nox Squad to Rasa so we could do our own stuff. And then we got asked by Minecraft, Microsoft, Mojang, don't know what specifically it falls under, become a marketplace partner and make maps for the Bedrock marketplace, which we did. We've now released 4. I think I have that number correct. Our most recent one, which came out like 2 weeks ago, which you can go and play right now. It's called Skeleton Survivors. And if you love Call of Duty Zombies or PvE in Minecraft, that's the game for you.
Take a look. I haven't taken a look here yet. Can you give me a code?
I can't give you a code. It doesn't quite work like that because it's not our store.
I tried. What about Ra? I feel like I didn't even ask how Rasa Studios came to be.
I mean, that was it. So we started as the Nox Squad.
Oh, so it was literally just from the Nox Squad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't realize it all linked into one. Apologies.
Yeah. No, you're good. Yeah. Rasa is just a rename of the Nox Squad. Make sure like we're on our own. We're an independent team.
And it's better for releasing stuff on the marketplace under Rasa Studios than under Nox Squad as well.
Yeah. Again, like we don't want to step on the Nox Crew's toes.
Plus, it just caused confusion for the younger Minecraft audience. They'd be like, oh.
Yeah, we get that all the time of like, oh, I remember watching the Nox Squad game show. Like, no, you don't. You remember watching the Nox Crew game show.
With different people.
Yeah.
Or two different entities. With Rasa Studios, then, what are some of your favorite memories?
We do a lot of meetups, and that's always highlights.
Just for clarification here, when you say meetup, I'm assuming you mean as friends, not official, like fans.
Yes, as friends.
Oh, you okay?
Yes, sorry, yes. Meetups as friends.
Just making sure for you, for the listeners.
So we have an interesting situation where most teams on the marketplace, you know, they work, they earn money, and they make stuff, and it's a job. But for us, it's a hobby. So all of the money is like, we use it on meetups so that we can meet up with each other and just have fun. And it's like a communal thing, and it saves on everyone kind of going, oh, I deserve this amount. Which is a cool thing. But yeah, so meetups are a highlight. Done the Crystal Maze experience multiple times. They're always fun. Escape rooms are fun. I like doing Taskmaster. But the Nox Squad Game Show is it's in our heart for a lot of us. For me especially, I love making the games for it. So whenever I get to make a game that people really like, that's always a nice moment. I've made quite a few games now, and I kind of iterate on them and make more and more. I prefer PvP objective games and puzzle games. I don't know, I'm trying to think of like a specific highlight.
I mean, I have a highlight.
All right, go on.
You're gonna have to remind me of the name of the game. Apologies, I have so much going on in my brain. What the most recent KubeCon this year, what was the game that everyone could play?
Oh, Flick Flack. Yes, we got to have
big fun of Flick Flack.
Yeah, Flick Flack. So Flick Flack was a game that I made many years ago, and it was when I was starting to really think about game design and make things work and test the players in certain skills and make it all, you know, flow together. And I just came up with a game and I went, what if I just said screw it and just don't care about game design and I just throw everything at the players? And so it was two arenas that were mirrored, where you would just push buttons to activate traps and springs and all of this, that and the other. And that was it. That was the game. And it really stuck. It broke a lot, but that's fine. I then recreated it more recently for the show last year. And then Cubed had asked us if we wanted to build a game in their games area. And we said yes. And Jammy, who is an amazing coder, coded Flick Flack in a plugin, because we use data packs normally. And so we'd created new arenas for it. We'd use the same arenas as well. And we put it in Cubed, and it went so well. People seemed to really love it. It was just like this fun game where you could go over, see it happening, and just know immediately what was going on. It was very silly. It had no reason to get, you didn't feel like it was competitive enough to rage at, in a sense. You would just kind of press the button, go in, you'd maybe last 2 seconds, but then you go, no, I'm gonna play again, and then you play again, and then you last a bit longer. And it's just fun, it's silly, it's wacky.
It didn't break to me as well. Like, it was the only game that actually worked on KubeCon, which is quite nice.
Yeah, and also ironically, it's the only game that has broken consistently for the game show.
Do you think I was good at it if you have any memories from us 1v1ing?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh,
but it's not a skill set.
No.
Oh, you're
took a lot of skill. I was planning it and everything. I jumped down, you go down on some of the maps, you hit the left button, then you hit the middle button. The one that puts up a wall. So you hit the left button, so it puts up a wall, so they either jump into the wall or they stay on their platform, and then you erase the platform below them. Oh, I had tactics and everything.
Only works for one arena though.
Yeah, obviously, I'm just using it as an example. I had them for other arenas as well, but that was like the best.
Oh, you had strats per map. Okay.
Yeah, I just can't fully remember it. I just remember that one.
But yeah, Flick Flack's great. I love Flick Flack. It seemed like everyone had fun and people were constantly queuing up for it, which was amazing for us. Just nice to see that people really enjoyed it.
I feel like I'm not comprehending enough the fact that, like, you have stated that you're a game designer and you've made these games. Like, it didn't really register until you said about making Flick Flack that you have made, like, a lot of... What games have you made? Like, what's the list of games that you've made for Rasa Studios?
I can get them up. Bear with me. There's going to be more as well.
And I'm happy to. I feel like I'm here and I'm enjoying the conversation, but I just haven't comprehended the fact that, like, you made these. These are you, you know?
Yeah, okay. Well, I also want to clarify that it's not always all me.
I know, like,
sometimes,
but you get what
people
I mean.
Will help build. The music is made by our wonderful musician, Andrew Mister. People will come in and help, you know, fix some bugs and test it and things like that. In terms of a list of games that we have on our website at rasastudios.net, just going through the list.
For everything in the description below, by the way.
So sure.
If you're curious about Rasa and Dwight and all that kind of jazz, you'll be able to find it all below. At least on YouTube. Spotify doesn't have that, but YouTube will.
Okay. Aztakers is kind of a really good game for mine. It's a PvP objective game. It's, how would I describe this? Imagine, have you seen Arena in Biome Battle?
I have, of course, yeah.
So it has like 3 points. This map has 5 points. Imagine them in like a dice shape where you have like the five, so in like a cross. If a team captures a point, all of the other points will lock and all of the fighting takes place on that one point. The team needs to hold that point for 60 seconds to secure it.
Oh, yeah.
But the other team can come in and recapture that point as their own to switch the time to tick onto their points. And when they do that, the team that is currently in control of the point cannot respawn. So it creates this really cool effect of this push back and forth where you can choose to kill the other team and focus on them so that you can very cleanly claim the point, but that takes a lot of time. Or can go and directly claim the point and sneak in the capture, but then all of them are alive and you're probably a little bit weak, which means that you're going to die very quickly. it's this really cool effect. And because there's five of them in a grid, there's two which are closer to each team's spawn. So it's designed in such a way that you're probably going to get those 2 points. And then the middle point becomes the most interesting one. And that's where usually the final fight takes place in this big climax. Right? I won't explain all of them like that.
No, but that's you're really good. That's really interesting. That's sick.
I love these.
If you want to ever see it, go check out. Like, I'm sure
it's been played a few times.
Has links to like videos and stuff anywhere.
Yeah, at least on it's all site, on our YouTube.
Site, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. So if you ever want to see these games, please go look for yourself. But yeah, let's hear the rest of the list.
Collect Floor, which is like a puzzle game we made as a game jam game, me and Jammy. That's when we spend 12 hours and we stream how we make the game. So we've done that a few times. Collect Floor is you go out, you collect colored blocks, and then you come back and you need to place them on a grid in such a way to maximize your points. The more colors you have in a line, the more points you get for that line. And that's the principle there. Pharaoh City is my most recent game, also a PvP objective game. I love PvP objective games. They're just so interesting. That's kind of a new take on Aztackers. Imagine Overwatch control, like King of the Hill, that sort of situation. You have a zone you need to control, and the longer you hold it, the more points you get. And we have loads of different arenas for them. And it all takes place in this really cyberpunk city. And the cool effect of that is whenever a team captures the zone, all of the lights in that cyberpunk city change to that team's color. So it's very easy to see what team is in control, and it's a very like big effect.
Okay.
Flick Flack, which
so
I
know I'm not giving like a crazy reaction to these. I am very these are very cool. I just like I don't want to add too much to otherwise we'll be stuck here forever talking about the games.
I'll reel some off. Flick Flack I've spoken about. Go Go Disco is like you jump around and need to stand on the right colour at the right time. Kind of like Block Party, but it's a bit different. Hotspot is a kind of a PvP game, but it works on fire and explosives. It takes place in a volcano. So you need to use a flint and steel to block people into different locations using fire, TNT range from the sky, that sort of stuff. Shoot Sewer, I love that name. The second shoot there being like a pipe takes place in a sewer. Teams are on opposite sides. You shoot targets on the opposite side to control obstacles, which allow you to get to different objectives, almost like a parkour teamwork course to get to buttons. And once you press all five buttons, you win. Tetrace sounds like Tetris. It's a parkour puzzle game. You go to one side of a parkour course, you pick up a tetromino piece, so four blocks of a color, you then run back, and then you need to place it in a grid so that all of those pieces fit like a Tetris. Waterworks, you'd redirect water streams. That was most recently seen in our latest show, where one team just did so insanely well. Redirect water streams to guide them into your own gate, but you can also sabotage the other team. And Wildwood Works is a race game, which I've spoken about, in a wooden factory with conveyor belts. And that's not all of the games I've made, and that's like half of the games we have as in the game show.
They're amazing though. The games are so cool, man. I really want to have a go of like playing Not Squad Game Show. I mean, I mentioned to you at TwitchCon, like I was like, I think you probably don't remember, which is completely fine. I remember talking about CubeCon, about how I saw a CubeCon. I said, oh, like I really want to play in one. And then when I saw the teams got announced for the CubeCon one, I was like, oh, I wanted to be on that.
So we get most of the contestants from the cubed guests. Is mainly where we get people from.
I actually realized I look back on it now, and as much as I'm happy that I donated to CubeCon and raised money for charity, it was amazing. I do look back on it now and feel like I would have been better off being a guest.
I would love to do game show more, and this is something we're talking about privately, so I'm not going to speak too much about it, but I would love to do game show more. We have this really cool thing where events right now, I love watching events, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this podcast probably do as well. But the one thing that most events have in common is that they have a very set roster. I think the biggest roster right now is probably MCC, and they still have like a very rigid roster. Like, you know, you're probably going to play a Sky Battle or Sands of Time.
You mean game roster? I thought you were talking about player
like
roster.
No game roster. The cool thing we have here is that we have very small games, and the games are different. And every time we put on a show, we can choose 8 completely new games that you haven't seen before or don't know much about. And they're just silly. It's not a lot of strategy to them. They're just fun and wacky and arcadey is how I would describe them, and I love that about the show.
When did you join? I think you mentioned it earlier, but sorry if you didn't. I missed it. When did you join Rust of Heroes, and when did it, like, when was the beginning? What year?
Probably when the Nox Shoe Game Show season one started, which was 2014, 2015.
Jeez, okay.
So that was the Nox Squad community, and then we became Rasa in 2017.
Okay. Do you have anything else about Rasa and Nox Squad Game Show that you wanted to talk about, or have we done a pretty good job of like covering the basis of it?
We've done a good job. The only thing I'd say is that if you're not interested in Skeleton Survivors on Bedrock, and I know that a lot of people probably don't play Bedrock, the one map that I do want to shout about is Heistmeisters. That is, it's, you work as a team called the Heistmeisters, where you go into a museum and you need to find the artifact and escape with it. And there's guards that will try and stop you. There's puzzles. And the big thing about it is that it's procedurally generated. So it's basically like a dungeon crawler, but in a different take, in a different form. Okay. So every time you press that button, you are going to get a new museum to explore. And it is just, it is a crazy, like, I'm very proud of it. I didn't work, like, I'm not the only one who worked on it. Vaughn, who is one of the other mechanics, did the procedural generation. And it is, it's just, it's so much fun. And it's, when I last checked, it was the only procedurally generated map on the Minecraft marketplace. So if that's of any interest to you, that is a map that I would recommend checking out.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah.
What are the Heisters?
So the Heisters are, so if people don't know who the Heisters are, it's a small group of friends. It's mainly me, Melissa, Captain Flamey, Poseidon, and Brightus.
That's fine.
Yeah, so we most recently played in Biome Battle as the five of us.
That made them seem mayhem awkward.
Well, so Bright was a friend of ours, but wasn't like officially a heister. It feels weird saying officially a heister. It's just a friend group. But at the time of we started as the four of us originally. We met through MCC testing, and we just started playing like Island together. And then I introduced them to Heistmeisters, and they loved it because they were all Mel. If anyone knows Mel, the first thing you know about her is that she loves Sands of Time, and because Heistmeisters is procedurally generated and feels like a dungeon crawler, that kind of resonated. So we played that as the four of us with Captain Flamey and Poseidon, and we played it a lot. We played a lot of Island, and we just kind of stuck around as a group, and we just called ourselves the Heisters because that's what, you know, we started doing. Yeah,
that's cool. I was about to say what came first, the Heisters or the Heistmeisters, but there you go, you explained it.
Yeah, Heistmeisters was first.
How did you find, this is unrelated to Heisters, how did you find Inside MC Mania?
It was fun. We had two events back to back, and Mel was here, so we were like strategically trying to find when to eat in between. But it was fun. That there was a lot of, we felt very like overpowered by other teams though, which was an experience. But
I did make an announcement, to be fair.
It was nice to play in something different and for fun and for charity. And I don't remember the total. It's definitely over 200, right?
£250.
Yeah, which is just an amazing thing to do for charity. We got to have fun by doing it.
Exactly. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I think at least I made the teams vibey, despite some of them being weaker than others, which like I couldn't do much with only what's it called, there being only 40 signups, plus we needed more subs than we had. I think I did all right job.
Yeah, because you asked me to be a sub originally, right?
Yeah, you were invited. Yeah, I knew essentially you'd be put in, but I just wanted to make it very clear for like future tournaments. And that's why when I invited you, I was like, by the way, like, there's no promises. And then ended up being a promise that you did get in.
I love events, and I've been watching events for, you know, since MCC started and when events kicked off. I don't really get invited because I'm not a creator, which is fair enough. So it's just nice to be included, and it was nice to play in an event. And we played with Sakura Radio and Boloon, who we met both of them. Well, we knew them before, but we met them both at TwitchCon, so we knew them.
That's why they both got the invite, because I was going through my list, and I was like, who did I meet at TwitchCon that I quite liked? And I was like, okay, Sakura and Boloon are up there. Dwitty, yep, cool.
I remember from
TwitchCon. It's like Scotto got an invite, Ende got an invite. I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, I know these people, for sure. And I knew you guys were quite close because of testing, so. Sorry. I know you're going to do something there.
Well, I was just going to say that Saki is a tester and moderator, but Bo isn't. So it's not entirely through testing.
That's basically it. About two people who are together.
Yeah.
There we go. How did, speaking of MCC testing, how did you get into that?
I was going to say I didn't get into MCC testing. MCC testing got into me.
Okay, and now I'm more curious.
So obviously I played in the Nox game show and we were in the community of the Nox squad, and when the Nox crew was starting, I think this is all fine to share because it's
as long as you're not like leaking anything bad.
Like, no, I mean, if I'd be leaking anything, I'd be leaking about MCC 1, which happened 5 years ago. So.
Yeah, but still, you should like just be careful. Anyways, just
I know. Yeah, so we were invited to help test for something, and that's all we knew. And we got put onto different teams, and I don't think there was a full like 40 player test at the start, but we were put on different teams. We played this event, which we had no idea about. Some of the games we recognized because Foot Race, for instance, was just Python script. So we were like, oh, this is just Python script from Not True Game Show. Dodgeball, don't think was a thing. Maybe it was, but that was again a Not True Game Show game. Rocket Spleef, I remember being completely new. She is just SG. Parkour Warrior was cool. I wasn't as into parkour at that time because it was still, this was 5 years ago. But yeah, they invited us, we played, and just kind of stuck around.
Kind of crazy though how long it's been around for and how long you've been in it.
Yeah.
And I see how you can say that you're one of the OGs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just so grateful to stick around. And I know I give a lot of feedback. I can be quite critical at times, and I know I'm very aware of it. But
that's what they want, I'm sure. Like, you would have not been attacked.
I hope so, and I'm sure, yeah.
But you would have been kicked out in a wave if they didn't want that.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. But they know that I understand, I think they know that I understand how the games work and what they're going for. So I can kind of provide a perspective on it that isn't just like, oh, I found this bug, oh, I found this bug. I can say, this doesn't feel right as a game.
You have their vision.
I think so. I can't say for certain. I don't know, like, the background. But yeah, I've been there for 5 years.
Wait, sorry. Is that how you met Mel then, from MCC?
Yeah.
Don't ask too much about Mel. I'm just curious because, like, you know.
No. I'll talk about Mel all day.
I've already had Mel on the podcast. I'm saying, so I'm talking about stuff. It's just like, I didn't exactly ask them how they met you. I'm just saying, like, because it's just coming up. Was it for MCC testing?
It was. And it's the kind of story that I love. And it will sound like really cool, like, meet cute for anyone who's probably listening to this. But for people, like, talking about my family, it makes no sense. Because we were both testers. I think it was her second test at the time. But my friend was testing manager, who was like organizing the teams, and he asked if I just wanted to like play with him for a test. So I was like, yeah, sure. And then he put us with Mel and her friend Kat, and so we got put onto a team, and we did like really well. Sans in particular, we just like, I think Mel said this, but we set the record at the time. And Mel, that was like the dream. That was like, wow. And
wait, it was a team of five of you?
No, four. Me, my friend Danny, Mel, and her friend Kat.
Sorry, I'm
so,
idiot. Yeah,
like two pairs.
Sorry,
yeah.
My mask just froze for a second. Apologies. Yeah, it's as you were. Sorry. So yeah, you beat the record.
Yeah, and we won the test, which is, you know, it feels very similar to, you know, winning an actual MCC. It's, you know, crazy good to you know, be in that situation. You're elated and you feel euphoric. And then I spoke to Mel a little bit afterwards, you know, just saying, wow, that sounds was crazy. And then we didn't speak for like a year. We knew of each other. We would see each other in different tests. And we would kind of just be like, oh, hi, how are you doing, sort of thing. And then almost a year later, we just got talking again. We were talking about our SANS, you know, situation and how well we played. And she asked if I wanted to play in a test with her coming up, and we did. And then we won again. So after that, that was, funnily enough, that second test was 2 years ago tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, from recording this, by the way, just to be clear.
Yes, from recording this. And after that test, we just started hanging out, like, every day. We were playing different games. I think Island was out at the time. We were playing Island. We did, like, Hypixel housing parkour. She was looking into making, like, data packs, so I was teaching her data packs and commands. And then on New Year's, we just had a long conversation. So I went out for New Year's on New Year's Eve with my friends. And on the way back and at home, we just started talking again. And we were up like all night just talking and just seeing if this would work. And that was kind of it. We got together.
I'm doing stuff to help as well, which is nice.
Yeah, she's an hour ahead, yeah, which isn't that.
It's not too bad. Away from MCC testing then, I mean, because there's not really too much to talk about in regards to it.
Yeah, I can't share too much.
Yeah, you can't share too much. Also, I don't want this podcast, like, if we talk talked about everything in depth, this podcast would be ages. And like, you know, the reason I'm taking a whole break from the podcast thing is because I'm getting a little bit tired. So making this a super long podcast kind of defeats that whole purpose. I love talking.
You can go have a nap. It's okay. I'll wait.
I'm getting that old now. So let's see.
Getting old. Shut up.
I always say I'm getting old.
Everyone says, oh, that I'm getting old. I'm getting old. And they're like 20. It's like, shut up.
You're in your 20s.
Just I am in my 20s. Side. Yeah, but
26,
I'm not old.
Going on 33.
I am not old.
Oh, alongside MCC testing, you also do some other stuff for MCC as well. Because we talked a lot about MCC. It's almost like you've been in that scene for ages.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the other thing in regards to MCC that you do?
Well, you say do as in like... Like
not officially, not officially with MCC. What do you do in regards to MCC?
I think
a lot
of people would know me either through a moderator on Ireland or my courses.
Well, you're a moderator on Ireland as well?
Did you not know that?
Oh, wait, no, I did know that. I did know that. I just forgot. Yeah. But I did know that. I just forgot about it. Mm-hmm. How many people have you banned?
There is probably a number, but I'm not going to say the number.
I'm joking. But sorry, go on about the what's the other thing that you do then?
Yes, the Parkour Warrior Obstacles is where most people will probably see and hate my name. No, I'm kidding.
No, don't think it's you're not kidding. No, people despise you, Dwayne.
People do, yeah. I don't think it's entirely my fault, but it's like partly my fault.
It's just what you do. It's just what you're good at.
Yes.
I mean the hard courses.
I don't think they're like overly hard. I have a hard obstacle. They're not overly easy. I like to have obstacles which have a little bit of meat to them. So there's a little bit of a challenge. And I like to introduce skips, which people choose to do, which makes them harder. And I want to have a range of different obstacles as well. Some ranging from easy, some ranging like up to the very hard. But yeah, people see my obstacles a lot because I think I have the second most obstacles on the server behind ITMG.
They love ITMG, don't they?
Yeah.
They make
ITMG, courses. Yeah, they make very good courses and they have a very specific style, which feels much more like a race, which is very cool. And it does work in Parkour Warrior. My style is much closer to how the Nox Crew build, I think, in terms of how an obstacle feels. Because an obstacle to me in Parkour Warrior is one or two jumps that test the same mechanic. So if you're jumping to the left, you're jumping to the right, you jump to the left, jump to the right. Sounds boring, but it feels like you're doing a Ninja Warrior obstacle or like an obstacle in one of those foam obstacle parks, you know. If you're doing like a 2+1, then a Neo, then a slime jump, it doesn't feel like an obstacle. It feels like its own mini course. Whereas Parkour Warrior style is very concrete. You know what the obstacle tests. You know what it looks like. Like the edgy posts, I hate it, but they're all the same jump. They're somewhat head hitters. The tuning forks also hate it, but they're the same jump all the way through.
Even like Taylor Yellow is just three of the same jump. It's not different.
Exactly.
Jumps. It's the same idea because it's what it is.
It is an obstacle. It's its own obstacle. And so that's what I try to replicate. And if it's a harder jump, then that can be annoying to people. A lot of the obstacles that I have in right now are freeform, which means that I made them because you could only make unique theme obstacles. I have made so many obstacles like in my creation world, some of which I've submitted, some of which I'm just holding on to because they're not looking through submissions, which are much more side path themed, very more generic themed, and they range from easy to hard. And I think they're a lot more polished. Which I really hope to be in one day, because then people will like me a little bit better.
Like, oh, a nice twitty course.
My hard ending is the one probably most people hate. I submitted it as a very hard obstacle, as in an obstacle that should be a hard ending, and it was originally put in as a medium, which means that it appeared in the middle of a course for most people to see.
And then people corrected it. Yeah.
Yep, but the original stance on it, that people already had that sour taste in their mouth. They are hard jumps. They are like,
hey, look,
I think they're butterfly neos or whatever they're called.
If the parkour was easy, it'd be boring, right? So there has to be some jump surfing, and Twitty comes along and makes it. Not all the time. Yep. And when I say hard, I mean hard to me. Like, it doesn't mean they're hard in general, but they're definitely hard to make. I'm not complaining, because as much as when I see I'm like, oh, Twitty course, it's still I still love seeing it, because if it's just a bunch of like two block jumps, then I'll just be boring.
I want to have a different feeling for every obstacle that I make to contribute to Parkour Warrior in whatever way I can.
Oh, sweet. And then the final thing then, sorry to seem like I'm rushing, it's just because we're recording during the day and I do have to walk my dog, so... Mm-hmm. Map making. You do map making.
Yeah, well, I used to do a lot more than I do currently. I've been at a blockade for a long while now, but I have made... The first map I made was a PvP map years ago, which was very cool because then it got played by the pack and I was still a kid. So, yeah. So I woke up and my friend had messaged me saying, the pack played your map, the pack played your map. I'm like, what? And I watched this video and it was
That's
just crazy.
So cool. What?
I also made a Christmas puzzle map called Logic and Elves, which was based on, I studied philosophy and one of the modules was called Formal Logic. And so it was based around logic, but you were giving presents to elves and it was a Christmas themed map, which was kind of fun.
Okay.
But the main map that I've made, the map series, is called Ocelite, and it's a puzzle map where stand on green glass, which is light, and it takes you up. And then if you stand on red glass, it takes you down. Blue light will then take you across like a bridge. And that's the concept. If you fall more than 3 blocks and take damage, the level completely resets. And that's the concept. So it's like a puzzle platformer. And I've made 4 maps in that series, consisting of over 140 levels or something, and I'm working on the 5th one, which I'm sure people have asked about because it's kind of a meme. The cool thing about, so Ocelite 3 was the big one, a lot of people played it, and I remember Captain Sparkles played it as well, which was also crazy to me. That is someone who I watch and he just played my map. That is an amazing feeling to create something that you can watch people play,
especially your
enjoy.
Heroes, quite heroes.
Yeah, especially someone that you've watched. So Captain Sparkles played it, Bickstar played it, Log.zip played it, someone called OMG Chad, who older people might know about, he was part of the Mindcrack group. When I released the first Ocelite, he did a review of it and kind of promoted it, and did the same when I released further maps. And I didn't ask him to, he just did it. I
gotta play some of these maps this time. I'm just so not interested in Minecraft at the moment. Happy on a few months back, who also makes map. And I played one of their ones, their Turtle Wiper one. But your one sounds so cool, and I really want to play them. Especially the elf one. The platformer one that you're working on sounds so sick. But at the same time, I'm just not in the mood to play Minecraft at all.
A lot of people have very specific... Minecraft is a sandbox, so it has so many different avenues. And a lot of people are just log on, play Hypixel, play Island. And then, or you go down the route of survival and SMPs.
Or nothing at all and just talk about
it. Or nothing at all, yeah.
Which is what I'm working on right now.
Inside sick, MC, though. Am I right?
Oh my god, it's funny because, anyways. That's sick though. What's your favorite ever map you've made? Two questions.
Okay.
And then answer the other one. What's your favorite parkour jump that's been accepted, or parkour thingy that's been accepted? What's your favorite map that you've ever made?
Parkour jump that's been accepted. Probably one of the side path ones, which don't get seen a lot. So either the ending, but I wouldn't say the ending. There is one which I call the corkscrews, where you're jumping around pillars, and it's the same jump, but you can skip some of them. And there's also one called, which I call the panel pass, which is you're going through this sort of corridor and there's iron bars which are hanging down, and you need to jump around them. I like both of those latter ones. Map, I would say Ocelite 3 or 4, I don't know. Ocelite 3 was the big one where I introduced loads of mechanics, and it was definitely the one that I looked to say, yeah, this is Ocelite. But Ocelite 4, I released as a joke, in a sense. I released it on April Fool's Day, but it was a genuine map. The whole map was just one level, and you'd go to different sections of this sort of void, and segments of the big level would appear in front of you. And you'd have to solve mini levels within one bigger level. And I thought that was a really cool concept and how it all worked together.
What's the deal behind the name Ocelite?
Because it's light, so it's this glass that goes up and down, so it's oscillating.
Oh, and that's actually really simple enough.
Yeah.
It's like the David is witty, Twitty.
Yep.
You're simple. Quite good. You're quite good at that.
I'm not a complicated man.
The mixing words. Beautiful.
Yep. Portmanteau.
Portmanteau.
Do you not know what a portmanteau is?
No, probably not.
It's just when you combine two words together.
Oh, that would. No, yeah, no, I knew that. Oh, I'm not an idiot. I promise. I didn't know what a portmanteau was. Sorry, but that's cool. Now I know. And I'll forget it after this podcast. And then when I edit it, I'll remember. And
I will test you next time we speak.
Sure. Yeah. That was a big sigh of because I don't want you to, but I will. We should speak again sometime.
Okay. Yeah, to network.
I love networking with you, Dway. This is great. We've been talking for what now? 3 hours? Two hours. 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Not podcast length. That's included non-podcast. Podcast has been an hour and a half with some cutouts, as in like the editing of cutting out, like silence and stuff like that. Yeah, did it. With that then, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about, or have we done a pretty good job of covering everything?
I think we've done a good job. Is there anything that you usually talk about which I haven't? I felt like I've talked a lot about like what I've done and haven't done a lot of like silly stories.
I mean, do you have any silly stories?
Well, you can't just ask a man that. About what?
I don't know, just you said it. I asked you what you wanted to talk about. You gave me what you wanted to answer with. Look, I'm not a mind reader. I can't just say, oh, I asked you what your favorite moments are. I gave you all the groundwork for
true.
It.
That's
and you
true.
Didn't say any silly stories. That's your choice.
I'm sorry, I'm not silly enough.
I can't do much more than that, Twitty, okay?
Yeah.
I do have some Twitter questions, though.
Okay.
The first one comes from Mel. Who would have thought?
Mm-hmm.
How did you first come up with the idea for Ocelyte?
This was a testing world. So I was a classic redstoner who had a quartz super flat world. Some people prefer sandstone. I prefer quartz.
Oh, yeah. I had grass as my one when I did Command Lord Tutorials.
Boring.
Cheers, appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And I was just messing around with commands. I was learning command blocks and how they worked. And I just thought, what if you could stand on green light like an elevator and it took you up? Or, well, more specifically, if you stood on glass and it took you up. And I did that. And then I thought, well, if you're going up, it should probably be green. So I made it green. And then there's one that's going up, there should be another one that goes down. And I remember the exact setup in my head. I don't have the world anymore, but I remember it was like a 3 or 4 block pillar which took you up, and then, you know, 2 blocks across there was the red light which could take you down, and the command blocks were like very old redstone timers, like a repeater and a torch and a redstone dust. It had a command block as one of the blocks, so it would activate every like 4 ticks or so, and that was it. I created like that concept, and I went to my friend Oakley, who was part of the Ungentleman in the Noxview Game Show and also on the SMP that I was on, and said, I have this like idea, I want to make a puzzle map with it, do you want to help me? And he said yeah, and we made some levels and we put them into a little hub, and that was it. That was Ocelyte. That was the first Ocelyte. It was just green and red light. You'd have to press buttons to finish the level. Then it felt very natural to make blue light, which went across, you know, you have up, down, now you need to do across, and that was all with command blocks and this massive clock that was working. Yeah, like very old-fashioned repeaters and redstone dust and torches and just command blocks activating every tick.
And look, if it works, it works, right?
Yeah, and yeah, that was the start of Ocelyte. It was just in my testing world, messing around with command blocks.
This one is from Vegetable. They just said to make sure that I scream, "What the hell is a Dwitty?" But I didn't say it loud enough. But I didn't say it loud enough earlier. And also, I said "fuck," not "hell." So.
Okay.
Via request of them, I said.
You have now accounted for that.
Exactly. The next one is from Emily Cupcake Gaming. What's been your favorite event experience/memory? Can be from anything: testing, playing, building, anything of the sorts.
It's a big question because I've kind of done all three aspects: building, testing, and playing. I mean,
you
we
said
won
stuff
Mayhem
throughout
as...
the podcast. Like you said, you have touched on stuff. Yeah, sorry, what were you saying?
We won Mayhem as the Heisters. That was a really cool moment. Iron Battle, we played most recently as well. Obviously, testing, I've got to say,
you said earlier.
Well, more the fact of meeting Mel and just like that test is so ingrained in my memory. Yeah, of course. That's, you know, that's a test that goes beyond the testing world and Minecraft. That's a test that genuinely changed my life.
Yeah.
You know? Aside from that, in testing, I mean, I don't know what I don't know what I'm technically allowed to say.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We can just use that for testing, just in case. Better than sorry.
I mean, I think I'm allowed to say that I've got first individual at some point.
Yeah,
I think
that should be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a cool moment. That was with Mel as well. And then building, I've spoken about the Nox Squad Game Show and just creating games, and that specific moment at the very start where I made Wildwood Works and the Nox crew came out and said, "Oh my God, what an amazing theme." Just that was like, I still remember that, and that makes me want to keep going and want to keep making stuff.
And I mean, the rest of the questions are stuff that we've kind of already answered, plus like probably you might not be able to talk about, and plus I only ask a certain amount of Twitter questions anyways, because if I asked every single one on every single podcast, we'd be doing Twitter questions for a very long time. But that's it, Twitty, sadly, for this podcast.
Oh, thank God. Let me go.
Oh. Oh, okay then.
I feel like I've bored you in a sense, or like I know you do these podcasts to talk to people and get to know them, but it feels very weird for me to just talk about myself for
Tell me I've given you the vibes that you've bored me.
No, you haven't. I just feel like I've been talking.
No, please, no. I love it. Sorry that I'm, like I said, because I'm coming up on, like, my break and this being the final podcast, like, my brain is very, like, mellow and chilled. I've also just got a lot of stuff, like, that I need to deal with coming up on Christmas and just a lot of stuff in life right now that I haven't really talked about, like, thingy. So, like, sorry if it's come off, like, even just for the listener here, that I've been a bit quieter and more mellow. I just, like, it's just that time where, like, I'm having a break. So, like, it's like, you know, when you're in holiday mode, you know you're about to go on holiday, so your last 2 days of work are just, like,
they're just like everything.
Like, I still wanted to do this podcast and I've absolutely loved talking to you. I'm just more conserving energy because it is the afternoon. I've got quite a lot of stuff that I need to do tonight. Sorry if it seemed like that. No, I've loved talking to you.
No, it didn't.
Thank you so much.
It's my own perceptions.
Got you. Well, with that being said then, before I do the outro here, I always like to give this opportunity for you to promote yourself or promote anything that you want within reason, of course. No OnlyFans links, please, Twitty. What would you like to promote? Go ahead, floor's yours.
I wasn't prepared for this.
You should have been. I thought you listened. I know, you normally click off at the outro, don't you, of course.
I don't listen to any of it, actually.
Fair enough.
I just use it as white noise to sleep to.
That's nice. I mean, at least I'm getting watch time.
Oh, you took that nicely. Okay.
And look, I always have to look at wins in horrible, horrible situations.
I would promote Rasa here, and I would say go and check out rasastudios.net and learn more about us, the maps we've made, Skeleton Survivors, Heist Meisters, and the game show. And then if you want to check out a follow on my Twitter would be great, so that when I inevitably announce the next map that I release, people are ready and aware. And that is at David Dwitty, Dwitty with two Y's, DWI.
There you go. Thank you so much for coming on. You've been such an amazing guest, and hopefully thank this podcast comes out on time. If it doesn't, it'll be delayed till the week after, but we ball. And for anyone listening to this who less celebrates Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Exactly. For those who don't have me on Twitter, because I'll do an announcement there. Yeah. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I hope everyone has a lovely time spending time with their family over this time. And I'll be spending some amazing time with Dwitty for this holiday.
Oh, what, really?
Yeah, we're going to call loads, aren't we? So.
Sure. Okay.
Right. Well, with that being said, thank you all for listening. Stay safe. Don't eat too much bread.
Pieces.
Bye.